Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we with my baby?
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
My co-host, KL, is indisposed. He had an urgent matter to attend to. So I'll be opening the show and carrying on for a few minutes until he gets himself together. I'm so glad you guys are tuned in tonight to listen to me, because right now is the Tiffany Braxton Belvin hour. I hope not a full hour. I hope he doesn't take that long. But, so, this week, in review, I just want to say, this is the longest week I have ever had. I don't know if it's the pregnancy. I don't know if it's because the summer is winding down and we're almost into the new school year or what. But this week has seemed to drag. I thought Thursday would never get here. I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, because this week is the big move. We are moving into our new apartment, and I'm very happy about that because Cam and I have, for the past 5 years, lived with my in-laws, and it's had its ups and downs, but we're ready to be on our own again. And it's funny because earlier this week, we stopped at the new apartment because we had to meet the real estate agent to pick up some more of the keys, the key to the mailbox, the key to the front door, and also the key to the laundry room. And we made an original appointment, I think about 6:30 is when we normally meet him at the apartment. But for some reason, he had to change it. He said he wouldn't meet us until about 7:30. It turned into almost 8:30. And we were out there, outside for a while, waiting for him to come. And eventually when he came, of course, in my condition, I had to use the bathroom. So I went upstairs to the apartment, and they did a wonderful job renovating the wood floors. They fixed the closet. Oh, my goodness. They just did a wonderful job. Even the tiles in the bathroom, because initially when we first saw the apartment, the tiles in the bathroom were tore up. And I have a thing about nasty bathrooms, and all I kept thinking, and the first thing I said to KL is, you guys have to do something with these tiles. There's no way in the world I would be able to get in this tub with the tiles looking the way they do. So they, I have to say, the contractors did a great job with redoing the tiles. So I go into the bathroom, I do what I have to do, and I flush the toilet. The toilet begins to explode. It wasn't even just an overflow. Because, you know, when the toilet backs up, you can see the water rising, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I hope it doesn't overflow. It wasn't that. There was an explosion, like a geyser, and the water started spewing out the toilet all over the floor like a volcano. And I couldn't believe, KL and I looking at each other like, what in the world is going on? Water is everywhere. Now, we had just had a conversation earlier with the sister that we were a quiet couple. We go to work, we come home, we take trips. You'll barely hear from us. We won't do a lot of complaining because a lot of things we just like to take care of ourselves, just know it's taken care of. So, unfortunately, we had just had this conversation. Now, we have to go downstairs and get the sister to come up. We haven't even officially moved into the apartment yet, and already we are giving him work. So a few minutes later, the super comes upstairs, and he sees water all over the floor. So, of course, he's looking at me crazy, like, what did you do to the toilet? And I'm thinking, all I did was use the bathroom, and then the water started spraying all over the place. So he says, the toilet is stopped up. I said, tell me about it. So he calls his wife on the phone. He tells her to bring him a bucket and a mop. And shortly after, she brought the bucket and mop up. And he, for whatever reason, I guess he didn't believe the story I told him. He wanted to see what was going on with the toilet himself. So he chose to flush the toilet. And the same thing happened. The water was spewing all over the place, a volcano, a geyser. What I found funny is he put his hands over the toilet as if he was going to hold the pressure of water that was coming out of it. And I'm looking at him like, you fool, just move back and let the water go over the floor. But his concern was that the water was going to go down into the next apartment, which I definitely understand. So he gets to work, he starts plunging, and I go in the next room to let him do his work. And he came to me, he says, you know what, I know what the problem is. I said, what's that? Basically, the contractors who put the tiles in the bathroom, my new pretty tiles in the bathroom, whatever they used to stick the tiles on the wall, they decided to pour down the toilet. Now, this is not the first time I've heard about it, and funny thing is, the super said this is not the first time that it's happened in the building, because it happened before when an apartment was being renovated, and he told the contractor not to do it again. But contractors, I don't know if it's being lazy, I don't know if it costs them money, to discard of things in the proper way, but they tend to put things in the toilet and flush things that shouldn't go in the toilet. And unfortunately, that stuff hardens, backs up, and will not let the water go down. So if the water can't go down, it's shooting back up. So basically, he told us we needed a whole new toilet, and it wouldn't get installed until Wednesday, which was yesterday. Which is a good thing, because we're not moving in until Saturday anyway. But it was just the idea that another delay in getting into our new apartment. Hi, honey. Are you ready to be on the show?
Nope.
You sure?
Yeah, where you going?
While K.O. puts on his underwear.
Yo, everybody
know all
that. That's not sexy.
I think you're sexy. No, I like to tell everyone I think my husband is sexy.
I have no idea what you told me. I didn't know nothing.
No, I just said that you were indisposed because you had an urgent matter.
Yeah.
I didn't tell them the real deal.
Not a problem.
I'm not going to share that with them.
I have an appointment with a person.
K.O. has some bad porn. So you guys... you guys know what happens when you get bad porn. It happens to all of us. You want the remote?
You
made a comment, and I was just trying to clarify. So I was telling him about the situation with the toilet at the new apartment.
Thank God.
Oh, my goodness. And the crazy thing is... I actually offered KL to use the bathroom first. Thankfully, I only had to make a number one. Because I can't
They just would have charged us more rent.
I can't even imagine if I had to do something else.
First of all, my wife does not understand this. Some things y'all don't need to know with us and share with us. Good evening. This is KL. And yes, it's barbecue season. Make sure that your chefs are doing what they're supposed to do. I caught a chef that was in a rush, and it put me in a rush. Y'all draw your own conclusion. Anyway, no, I mean, the good thing about the apartment is if I had went, they would have charged us more rent because they'd have been like, are you kidding me? No. But anyway, I don't even know why she's sharing all this with you, but I hope everyone's having a good evening. Welcome to Reality and Relationships. I'm going to give you back to my host as I am getting myself together and my drawers is on.
Whatever. So back to the apartment. We are moving in on Saturday. As KL said, if you want to come help us move, we don't have the funds, but it would be a great honor to have you with us to help us. Yeah, we can feed you. We can definitely feed you. But we can't pay you. What moving companies charge now? Like $20 an hour? $3 an hour, I think, moving companies charge, unless you go to Home Depot and get some of the day laborers. They will work food, practically. They're not going to work for $20 an hour. They'll work for a lot less. Anyway, this weekend past, Cam and I had a wonderful time at the Seaford Delaware Afro Festival. We went down on Friday. And it started actually 5 o'clock Friday evening. We set up our tent, we set up our books, and then it was a downpour. It wasn't just any downpour. We had a torrential, it was like a monsoon. It was ridiculous. We're trying to keep the books from getting wet. You know, once books get wet, they're ruined, we can't sell them. So we wrapped the books up, we threw them in the car, we wasn't even careful about it. Then we had to take the tent down, and we're going back and forth. The car was only like maybe 3 feet away from us, but going back and forth with the downpour, we were soaked from head to toe. I was freezing. By the time we got to the hotel, our stitches, our socks, everything was wet. We were wet down our underwear. But once we got in, we settled down, we camped the next day. And I have to say, we had a very good time. We met nice people. We made some connections because, as we've mentioned in the past, we are looking to move to Delaware. And Seaford is one of the areas we had never been to before. So, actually, we met teachers, we met I do know the word realtor. I know the word. You know what? You are not the only educated one in this couple ship, okay? Mr. 3 degrees. Mr. 3 degrees. Thank you. I do know the word realtor, but I would like to say you don't say age and you don't. We met, oh, it was so cute. You guys know I'm such a pageant kind of girl. I know that word too. And they had a pageant for the little ones, age 3 to 8, I believe it was. They were so adorable. And two sisters won titles at the pageant. And I got to take a picture with them. I told them on Facebook. And what else did we do? We also played a few years ago because we do work together a lot, back and forth several times a year. And that year in Dover at the, was that the African American Festival in Dover? Okay, so we met him at the African American Festival in Dover, but he also happened to be at the Seaford Festival. He is, because what they do is open a festival. They have a march, and they have African dancing, African drums. And it's just a really beautiful cultural experience. And I really like that they take the time. And you have so many different people, not just African American. You have European, Asian, Latin people that come out to support the community. So I think it's just a beautiful event. And we're going back again. When? A couple of weeks?
September 12th.
Yes, a town that's near Seaford. We won't be in Seaford, so we'll be in a new town. So I think it's great that we get to go to Delaware more often and go to different places because we've been in Dover, Wilmington, now Seaford. Now we're going to a new town in a couple of weeks for another festival we were invited to, just to get to know.
Somebody's going to give us an opportunity to speak and teach because we're out of New York within a year. So hopefully after the baby is born, not too long after, if not sooner. But it's really about finding a teaching position or something like that. I might even consider working outside my career. I'm not exactly sure.
Thank you for interrupting me.
Okay, baby.
You are too much. Anyway, earlier, well, at the festival, I got to meet the host of Pageant Insider News, which is a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Her name is Tamika Hall, and she was at the festival with her husband, and they happened to stop at our tent and discuss Tales Book, of course, but Tamika also wanted to interview me. And she did a, what's funny is she did an on-the-spot interview with KL about his book, which I thought was really cool. They got it on her phone. But then I had the opportunity to interview on her radio show yesterday. And also Ms. America 2013 was on the show prior to my interview. And it was just great. I really thank her for allowing me to come on to her show, Pageant Insider News, and talk about the American Beauty Plus pageant. And speaking of, we are still looking for contestants for the American Beauty Plus pageant for 2014. It is in April. It's the last week of April next year, and it's being held in Atlanta, Georgia. So if you would like to represent your state, please visit the website. It's www.MissAmericanBeautyPlusPageant.com. And it will give you all the details about the pageant. We have a teen division also, so from the ages of 13 and up, women can participate. We have different divisions, teen, Ms., Miss, Mrs., classic, and women's division. So if you're 50 and up, you can also participate as long as you're a size 14 and up. Now, for our teen division, you can be a size 10 and up. So, again, if you'd like to represent your state, please visit the website or hit me a message through Facebook. I'll be glad to answer any questions because I always have people that tell me they would love to do it, but they're not sure, they're scared. It was a great experience, and as I explained on the radio show last night with Tamika, that it's very family-oriented, and we had husbands there, children there, and it wasn't like the husbands were off to the side with nothing to do. The husbands were involved. The husbands received the awards for their participation. The children receive awards for their participation. So it's not just about the ladies. We try to make it a family-friendly event. Honey, are you ready to join us at any time? Yeah, we know that you can Kanye any situation.
And if they don't understand
what I mean by Kanye, I always refer to when Kanye jumped on the stage when Taylor Swift was giving her acceptance speech, and Kanye felt, you know what, he's got something to say, so he jumped on and decided that he was going to have his say about Beyonce and Jay-Z. So a lot of times I call when I jump on the mic and decide to rattle on and give my filibusters, I call it Kanye-ing, but this is what I do. This is about the only connection to Kanye I'll actually accept, but other than that, Arsenio Hall's back, huh? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, but, you know, I guess Tiff is still general on the week, and actually that was the week. It's been an interesting week with getting everything together to move. It's funny how the minute that you start to prepare to move, you start finding things that you just don't need, don't know why you held on to, and definitely don't need to take to the new place, but you have to figure what that's going to be like. I can honestly say, with the summer bringing to a close, this is a good and bad summer, real good summer because it was definitely an opportunity to learn, definitely an opportunity to do a lot of things, but bad-wise because just ran into a lot of folks who was doing a lot of so-so business. And as I said last week in my little rant, I am not dealing with folks who just can't see the prize, who feel that they can just say whatever, do whatever when you're spending your money. I refuse to accept that, so I am definitely pushing to put my business back where it needs to be. Also, from Gigolo to Jesus is actually getting the attention that I am working so hard to garner, yes, because I felt that I didn't do all the things necessary to get the books in as many people's hands as possible. So this coming week I have 3 interviews, 2 on Monday, 1 on Tuesday. The information will be on my Facebook page for From Gigolo to Jesus, so you can actually come by and like the page. That's From Gigolo to Jesus. Like the page. I will place all of my information there, the interview information, because I'm really working on creating speaking engagements and seminars that are going to help women understand their men understand themselves, and men being able to help other men. I think the trick to this is that first brothers have to admit what's wrong with them so their women can actually help them heal. And then we have to go out and hold our partners accountable. Stop acting like it's cool when your partner comes and tell you how he's disrespecting women. Put the brakes on it. Let's start trying to change the way we interact with each other so we can actually fix the things that's going on in the community. So I'm actually working on doing that. So, with all that said, and leading into the rest of this week, I'm excited about the move. I'm excited about the baby, as I said before. I realize with Tiff being pregnant and the baby coming eventually, I have to make sure I am around for a long period of time. So I definitely have started to pay closer attention to some things. I know what that said to you. How did he get some bad pork? So it doesn't mean that it was not bad for me. It just wasn't cooked. So. But I'm definitely paying attention to all of the things that have to do with my health because I plan on being around, God willing, as long as the Lord will allow me to be. I want to be here for my new baby. Now, I am excited. It's funny that at this age, I'm actually in a better mindset than I was when I was younger. And the fact that it's with my lovely wife, and that leads us to the news. Did you do the news tonight? I'm Kanye. Well, I ain't stopping yet. I ain't done yet. Anyway, going to do the news? You ready to do the news? Y'all ready to hear the news? Y'all want to hear the news? Guarantee you something sad. Because you know how Tiff is. Every week she's going to give you something that's going to cause you to maybe crash your car. But anyway, what's in the news, honey?
Thank you for allowing me to speak. Well, the first story is about a gentleman in Arizona. Actually, I'm sorry. It's not even Arizona. It's Oklahoma. There's another story in Arizona. I'll get to that later. But in Oklahoma, Dustin Brown, this story actually has been in the news for a few years because he is in a custody battle over his 3-year-old daughter. She's about 3-4. And I'm not quite sure what the issue is or what the... I don't even understand why this is a battle, but let me explain what happened. Dustin Brown was dating a woman. She became pregnant. He wanted to marry the woman. She didn't want to get married. Well, the story goes, and it's a conflict based on who you hear the story from. She says that he refused to pay child support because she didn't want to marry him. So she went through the entire pregnancy by herself, no support. That decided to put the baby up for adoption without him knowing. But he realized that the baby was up for adoption and a couple was trying to adopt the girl. He put in the paperwork in order to have it stopped. Now, it's a conflict where the couple who were adopting her, they weren't doing it legally. They were actually trying to do an unstable adoption, so basically they gave the mother of the child a bunch of money. And now, he's forced to court. He got custody of his daughter. Mother doesn't want to get involved. She hasn't had anything to say about it. But the couple who wanted to adopt the little girl is still trying to get custody of her. They have not proved that he's unfit. He's taking care of her. He's had her for the past 2 to almost 3 years. And this couple is saying that he kidnapped their baby, because he doesn't want to give the child back. And he was actually ordered to give the child up by a judge for whatever reason. No one understands that either, because he's been taking care of his child. He never gave permission to give up his legal rights to the child. And no one understands but the couple that wants to adopt her why they feel that they should have her. They actually said that this is their daughter and that he should give their daughter back. Well, basically, he was arrested for not giving the daughter back. But it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that the whole deal didn't go the way it was supposed to. They did not take the legal means first to legally adopt her. So under what ground are they trying to say that they should have her? It was crazy, but he said he's not giving her up. And when I look at the post or the article, so many people are supporting him, and everyone is telling the other couple, either adopt another baby, have a baby of your own, but get a life. And I'm sorry, I just agree.
Real talk, let that man rock. And we say so much about fathers out here not doing this. There's a father fighting hard to go on to his parental rights to really take it. And it just seems like when the opportunity comes, we talk early to take it because of another father that's bad. In this case, we got a father that's more than one child's father. I'm out of here. We got enough shading dudes out here not doing this. Father really trying to make a man, but the law's got to start being a man. I'm with it. I'm he's just a savage child. I'm sorry, that's the last thing.
In other news, Usher Raymond. Usher Raymond, you know, his son, I haven't seen him perform in a long time, but his son, 5 years old, almost drowned. He was almost killed in his own pool. Killed in a boat accident, and that was last year actually that happened. It was his ex-wife's son. But this
son also into the accident in his pool and he almost drowned. And basically, what happened is, and I have to tell people, I've told people before, this is an accident that happens a lot. People don't realize that at the bottom of the pool, there are drains. And sometimes, if the drain comes uncovered, the suction from that drain is so strong that it can hold you down. It can hold a grown person down and not be able to get back up. And this is what happened to Usher's son. And the aunt, I'm sorry, the aunt and a family friend that was watching the son attempted to pull him out of the water, and they couldn't because the suction was that strong. So there were two men happened to be doing work in the house. They came in, and they were able to pull him up, perform CPR, and he survived. Now, the ex-wife, Tamika Raven, of course, she used this as an opportunity to say that there was some form of neglect and that she should have custody because everyone knows that Usher Raven has primary custody of both children, and Tamika Raven barely has visitation rights.
She had a big head, too.
What does that head have to do with anything?
I don't know. Chick with big heads, you don't trust.
Chick with big heads, you don't trust.
You got a big head.
I was just about to say, you always say, I have a big head.
No comment.
So you don't trust me?
No comment. Wasn't the story about Usher Raymond's woman?
Anyway, that's Usher Raymond. So she took this as an opportunity to say that there was neglect. She immediately went to court to try to get custody of her two sons. It did not work. Now.
So that's like Dwayne Wade's, that's like crazy Dwayne Wade who was given custody of his children because their mother kidnapped them, basically, because she didn't bring them back, and like before a playoff game. And then she now was recently out there doing a video talking about how she's homeless when he's paying her like $25,000 a month, and she went through like 10, 11 lawyers. Come on, man.
That's what I was going to get, because Tamika Raymond is trying to say that wealthy men are getting the upper hand of the stick. And it's not that to be. I don't believe that's the case. And as far as it goes again, I like to read the boards to see what people think and what people say and their opinions. And their opinion is similar to mine. If the court is not under custody, there's a reason.
We all know that it has been historical and tradition that the mothers automatically get custody, and then the father has to prove that the mother is unfit, and they can go to court for years upon years and still never get custody. What people forgot, and I mentioned it in one of the message boards, is Tamika Raymond had three other children prior to the children she had with Usher, and she didn't have custody of them either. So the reality is that five children that you don't have custody of. The judge used for with Usher Raymond, so it shouldn't have custody either. So apparently there is an issue. So it's not about wealthy men and them having an upper hand because they have the money and the prestige. You have an issue. So whatever that issue is, you're hiding it very well. Because you don't have custody of any of you. So this thing is a bad story that actually turns out a bit better. I was reading an article about a 50-year-old who needs a heart transplant. And the hospital, Village Hospital, the hospital where he is, refused to give him or even put him on a list for a heart transplant because of his prior record as far as his academics and also being in trouble with the law. And this became, yes, and this became a top, no, he had issues with the law also. Right. He had issues with the law also, not just school-wise. So they basically said that because he didn't show that he would have a commitment to follow his regimen that's required for organ transplant recipients, that they didn't think that he would be a good recipient to put on the list.
That's what I wanted to talk about, because when we heard the story the other day, I was a little torn about that because I was like, wait a minute, how you going to deny that young man a heart when, you know, he's next on the list? But then I listened that night to one of the doctors who says, you have to consider when you give this heart to a person, it may mean that someone next on the list may die because another heart may not be found in some time and other people may die on that list. He said, so we really have to make sure that before we give someone a heart, that they really show that they're going to do all the things necessary, because why waste the organ and actually put other people's lives at risk? And I started thinking, I was like, wow, and this young man has had a history of not doing the things that he's supposed to, not following the rules. And it's not like it's just one incident. He was suspended from school. He had been arrested or in trouble with the law. You're just telling me that. I actually thought it was just school. And I was a little torn about this. I'm thinking, do you waste his heart and this young man mess up and not do what he's supposed to? Because then you ruin not only his life, but the life of the person that could have got it. But then the Holy Spirit kicked in and said, hey, we don't know what he's going to do once given that second opportunity. And if he's next in line, then you know what? I say give it to him. But I am a little torn because I do think, and maybe I'm a little jaded with the way this summer has been going with people and the way they conduct business. There's something to how you live your life, which is going to say something towards your future unless something major happens. Now, they can't get any more major than this. So my hope has to be that when given that second opportunity at life, that everything for this young man is going to change. And that's what I'm going to lean, that's what I'm going to lean on and hope that happens, because, brother, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders to get a brand new heart, and you don't do what you're supposed to do.
Now, I'm not as torn as KL was. And KL will confirm that when people do not-so-nice things and not-so-nice things happen to them, my most favorite saying is, that will learn them. I say that all the time. That will learn them. You can't think that people, and, you know, I know people think, oh, she's so cold-hearted. But I'm not being cold-hearted. I'm being realistic. People are not going to be empathetic if you are a tyrant against society, no matter how old you are. It's hard for people to feel sorry for you when you are not doing what you're supposed to do. How can people take you seriously? And KL and I have this discussion all the time. If you go around running amok and now you need a heart transplant, and the hospital says, you know what, I don't think you're going to be responsible and accountable with this heart transplant, so we'd rather give it to someone else, can you blame them? Because what it takes, the finances that it takes, the everything, like KL said, that means somebody that might do much better will die, and you get the heart. Now, I hope, I pray that he does what he's supposed to do going forward. I hope he takes this as an opportunity at a second chance at life and get himself together academically, socially, everything. But people have to understand that it's hard for us, others, to feel any empathy for you if you're not doing the right thing in the first place. Yeah, we all slip, fall, make mistakes, but get it together. And that's what I have to say about that.
I think you said it quite clearly. Wow, you know, it's tough, but I hope that folks are not faced with that dilemma. I say just do what you're supposed to do to begin with. You won't have all those headaches. Well, guys, it is Thursday. It is Reality and Relationships, and tonight's subject, when we're going to give you a little hint, and we're going to come back after we take a break. But here's the thing tonight is, Lord, please don't say, see, big headed women. You see what happened to big headed women? Can't trust big headed women. Anyway, will you stop singing back there with your big head? Anyway, can you have a friend and they not be friends with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Can you be married and have a friend, female friend, who's not friends? Will you quiet up that noise back there? Oh, you lost your mind. You got pregnant and lost your mind. Anyway, Can you be married and have a friend of the opposite? Come on, I can't hear. Come on with you. You know what's mine? Anyway, y'all about to hear spousal abuse on the radio. It's going to be me getting beat up. No, can you have friends of the opposite sex who is not friends with your wife or husband? Because that's the question. And actually, it's something it came up earlier on Facebook on a friend of mine's page, and I've been paying attention to this week, is people leaning on someone from their past to discuss what's going on, and that person is not even friends with the significant other. And I don't know how cool that is. And we're going to discuss that when we come back. We'll be back in two songs as I try to get Anime Bullock to stop singing in the background. This is Reality and Relationships. I am your host, K.L. Belvin, and that songbird over there is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. We'll be back in two songs. God bless.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made, it usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy they pour when I'm thinking about you. Ooh, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you?
Or do you not?
You were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho. Since you think I don't love you, I just thought you were cute. That's why I kiss you. Got a fighter jet, I don't get to fly it, though I'm lying down thinking about you. Ooh, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you,
do you?
Was tight. I know she felt me watching, but was scared to look my way. I know she.
she won't look, but I think I gotta shoot. Under pressure, don't know what to do. She's got two cuties with her, and I got my peoples too. She put it in one, stepped on a gun, and made it you. Looked inside, gave me a smile, and she blew. What am I gonna do? Where did she go? Hey, I'm thinking that she has gone.
Welcome back. This is KL Belvin. This is Reality Relationships every Thursday night on GQ Palace Radio, which is the host. And we are thankful and always grateful to GQ Palace Radio for allowing us the time to be on every Thursday to do what we do. So shout out to GQ Palace Radio. And if you are listening from your computer, we thank you for tuning in through Blog Talk or the GQ Palace website. Also, you can tune in from your cell phones, house phones, or wherever. The phone number is 646-200-3838. Make sure you lock that in. And the reason why you should lock that in is that GQ Palace Radio has a whole list of shows lined up throughout the week. Make sure that you tune in each day. Set the station on your computer. Set the phone number into your phone. And tune in and show all the other shows some love. A variety of different shows, variety of different backgrounds, variety of different topics. You will enjoy yourself any night that you tune in. Now, that leads us to tonight's conversation. Can you have a friend of the opposite sex who is not friends with your significant other? Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife? This is a tough question.
It's not? I can have whatever friends I want to have. You know what's funny?
Because I've had this discussion with some of my female friends.
I'm going to let you rock me, get choked out again.
Oh, you have a problem with me having friends of the opposite sex?
You have the mic. I'm not saying that.
I'm asking you a question.
Not at all.
Oh, I thought so.
Watch your tone.
I thought so, Mr. Don Juan.
Watch your tone.
Anyway, you know, it's funny because I've had this discussion with some of my female friends, and I don't know. I think it's something I'm discussing in Stop Doggy Posing also. That's my book coming up soon.
You probably missed
it. Shut up. But what I'm finding is men and women put restrictions on themselves based on what they think their partner might say and do, or how they might react to the friendships that they have with people of the opposite sex. And I realized that through some of my friends. And it's so funny because I will never forget, I had a discussion with a friend of mine who said that she doesn't have male friends because she doesn't want her boyfriend to have female friends. And I'm thinking, how stupid does that sound? That's crazy to me. So because of your insecurities, you're going to stop yourself from having male friends because you don't want your boyfriend to have friends. Well, that means either you don't trust yourself or you don't trust him. So should you be in a relationship?
You asking me?
No, you're not asking me. It's stuff in your face, and then you're going to ask me, and I'm not asking you.
Again?
Yes, I'm blowing you up. I am blowing you up.
You can see that there's a lot of tension in the air. Because her carrying another life inside her has started to create this new woman. I don't know who this woman is. All I know is before she was pregnant, she was demure and sweet and nice. Now she's ranting and raving and yelling and screaming. Woo, we got to get you through the first trimester in a hurry, get you heavy or something. Anyway, to answer your question, you know how I feel. If you're cool, I just don't think you should ever lean on your significant. Let me take that back. I don't think you should ever go to the friend and give them information and lean on them that way to...
Yeah, that's my first question.
What was the first question?
The first question was...
Yes.
Having friends of the opposite sex...
You can have friends. I mean, if I have to, I'm killing you, me, and the dog, and him if I got to. So, you know, it is what it is. I ain't got no problem with you having friends. As long as he understand, you know, certain lines he can't cross and that he respect me when I show up. See, if you get nervous when I show up, that's a bad sign. You get nervous when I show up? Why you a little jumpy, homeboy? Might have to keep my eye on you. Don't get choked out.
It's funny, Kale was talking, but Kale doesn't have to worry about my friends. It's his friends. And I'm not talking about his female friends. Kale be watching his male friends try to secretly get at me.
Okay. Yes, I sit back in the cut, and cats don't realize I see it all. The little smiles, the little extended hugs, that's borderline caresses. I'd be like, yo, why are you holding her so long? I should just choke him out right now. But no, the situation is you got to be very, very careful because you don't want to ever impede on your significant other's independence. I say there's nothing wrong with having friends because it really does come down to trust. And that's where the communication between the two of you have to be clear. Now, the reason why I made the comment about someone getting nervous, I have noticed that the dudes who have negative intentions, who would try to misuse the friendship, seem to get a little nervous when I show up, or they soon depart when I show up. And Tiff can tell you, I pay attention to trends. I pay attention to slightest movements. I am ultra analytical, meaning that I see things that most people don't see, even down to shoe length. I see it all. And the reason why is because it's just the way I am. And so if I notice that a dude keeps doing the same thing, I'm not going to blow him up because then that's overstepping my boundaries to my lady. I'm just going to let Tiff know so she can handle it. Because I've actually seen her deal with it. So we want to hear from anybody listening tonight. Feel free to call in. 646-200-3838. Let us know how you feel about your significant other having friends of the opposite sex. Be honest. Is it uncomfortable to you? What's your feelings on it? And I don't want to hear, yo, you let a dude get close to your lady, he's going to take your lady. No, that means your lady gave herself up. Because if he takes it, that's rape. And that's a whole different show. So we are discussing what happens in terms of friendships. Now, to address the conversation that happened early online, a friend of mine put up a status from another woman that said her and this dude used to date, and he comes to her on a regular basis to discuss the problems that he's having in his marriage. And then she even went as far as saying that he stated things would have been better if he married her. And, well, I'm just telling you what was said, which made me start to think about this. And so my friend stepped in and said, well, you're not even supposed to be having conversations with him like that. And once he went there, you should have removed yourself from it and sent him back to his marriage, because his marriage needs fixing, that you're not helping by allowing him to rant and rave about the wife itself. Exactly. So I see Anna Mae has something to say. Hold on a second.
You know, I'm tired of these I want to fix him chicks. I'm tired of the chicks that feel, oh, he's just such a sad marriage, and I'm going to make him happy, and if she can't do it, I will. I'm not going to curse, but you know what I want to say. It doesn't make sense, because if he is in a relationship that he don't want to be in, then you don't need to fix it. He needs to fix it. Either he needs to fix his relationship, or he doesn't need to be in it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But as far as having friends, I have to say, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of, if things happen between KL and I might tell a friend or two or three. Maybe four.
Shut your mouth.
You know, because sometimes you have to vent. You have to vent to someone other than your immediate partner, because
before you come to me.
Okay, I just said that. Are you listening?
You gotta come to me first, then go to them.
You know, Kale doesn't understand that.
What?
You don't understand
what?
There are times that you need to discuss things outside of your partner first. And I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes. Because depending on the situation, it could be volatile.
Oh, it's about to be volatile.
And it could be explosive.
It's about to be explosive.
And before you make it explosive in your relationship, you need to know. Sometimes I go to my friends.
How are you going to speak on something in the relationship when they don't know me?
Well, there are times that people can speak on it.
That's one-sided.
KL, I'm very logical and rational and fair when I'm discussing stories, when I choose to discuss them.
My God is not.
And based on the information I give them, I have very rational friends. And I say, listen, what do you think? Am I wrong? Am I right? Should I do something different? And I have to say, my friends are very impartial. They are. They have taken up for you sometimes, and I sit there and pout, and I say, but you don't understand. And they say, Tiffany, get it together. You have to understand.
My side is not heard. It is still one-sided.
You just taking your side that they haven't heard?
Okay. They still haven't. You just explained what I just said. They still haven't heard my side. Just because they...
At least you need your side if they took your side.
Whatever. It don't make no sense. You go to your friends before coming to me sometimes,
yes.
Which I don't understand, because how are they going to give you, the real talk,
yes.
How are they going to give you advice on a man that they know nothing about, and that the only thing that they know about me is what they see online or what you've expressed to them? But what you express to them is not actually like dealing with me. Yeah, but the thing is, they're only getting partial information to be impartial on. See, that you don't get it. That's why you keep doing that foolishness.
That's why you keep doing the foolishness, because you don't get it.
No cell phones when we're on the air. How dare you be so ghetto? You know, we're going to have to have a talk. We're going to have a production meeting after the show. Pregnant or not, cell phone on? Are you crazy? Anyway, why my lovely pregnant wife goes to find the phone. And no, she ain't going to choke me out. I'm playing that. But the thing is, if you only give your friends what you want them to know, or, you know, whatever, it's still only partial. So, yes, even though they may be impartial, they don't have all the information. So even though they may want to help, how can they help if they don't have all the information? That's like a doctor trying to treat you and not know everything that has gone into causing what is wrong. It would make it very difficult to give you the proper medication. Now, he might get lucky and just based on what you said, give you something that helps. But overall, now, how many times have I told you when you talk to your friends that I go, but you didn't explain this and this and this. They go, oh, you're right, but that means they didn't get all the information.
I don't remember those times.
Now she's having selective amnesia. You know what? You might have to take a break because I rough her off. Plus, I've seen some of the advice that the friends give. I have seen some of the things that they offer as help, and I go, you actually brought this back to the table?
You're not funny at all. Anyway, as I was explaining, there are times that you need to speak with someone other than
whatever.
Your significant other.
Whatever.
And I have to say, you know when that person that you're speaking to is being impartial or not. I don't have friends that are yes friends. I have friends that will say, Tiffany, you're wrong. Because I have friends that will kick me off my soapbox and say, Tiffany, get it together. But when you have... Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. When you have people in your circle that yes you to death and they don't never tell you wrong, then you really need to take a look at your friends. I don't have those type of friends.
Well, I mean... You're supposed to have people that's going to keep it real with you. And if they're not keeping it real with you, why are y'all friends? You know, my friends are going to keep it very real with me. I think there's just certain things, and I'm just joking with you. I do believe there are times that you might sit down and broach your subject with your friends that you plan on bringing to the table when you get home. I just, bless you again, I don't think anything should be discussed outside the marriage that doesn't actually come back to the table. And I think that's what happens in some cases, and people got to be very careful. When you share things with your friends, you have to be very careful that you give your significant other the opportunity to really sit down and the two of y'all talk about it. And I think, for me personally, I think it should originate within the relationship first. Like, for me, I tend to bring things to the table here first, and then I might run it past my friends just to see if their thoughts line up with where Tiff was thinking about it. Tiff is a little bit different, and that's part of her stubbornness and her big-headedness. And I'll say that again, her big-headedness is that she'll tend to do things in an independent fashion, and I have to remind her sometimes she's married. So folks that think that our marriage is perfect, it is not. That is one of those little areas that, you know, sometimes I have to try to explain to her, is that, darling, you are not alone in certain areas. You have to allow me to rock and do the things that I do. And one of those things is, when dealing with certain problems, Tiff knows I'm a fixer, always have been. I'm a strategist, and she knows I'm very gifted at solving issues. Problem is, her big head has always been independent, so she doesn't want to humble herself and give in to listen to her husband. Now, she'll tell you, or she'll try to lie about it, how many times that she has not listened to her husband and it has blown up, correct?
Yes.
That's right. You see, keep it short and sweet. But anyway, no, but seriously, it happens. And I try to explain to her that I'm here to help you, but she'll still take it to her girlfriend sometimes and then come back and say, you know what, baby, you were 100% right. I go, okay, so you needed to bounce it off a couple people to only get right back to where we were. Each relationship is different. Each couple is different. The one thing I know Tiff won't do is anything major, she's not going to discuss away from the relationship. She's going to bring it to me first, and then once we have the initial, she'll take it somewhere else. Well, a lot of this is more the little things that I'm in the car, and I'm like, what's she talking about? And then I'll get to find out later on. But so I'm like, okay, honey, I don't know what you keep sharing all this with your friends for, but it is what it is. So to anyone listening, if you want to call in, feel free, call in 646-200-3838. Tell us what your thoughts is on this subject, because some people is adamant. Like, I have a friend that says, I don't understand why Tiff allows you to have friends, because if you was with me, that wouldn't happen. And, of course, I always respond, that's why I'm not with you, because I am a social butterfly. I talk to everybody. I have female friends, male friends, and I speak to all of them. And Tiff is comfortable enough and trusts me enough to let me do what I do. There's times I say I'm going out because I'm going to have lunch, or I'm going to meet a friend and we sit down and talk and stuff like that. There's times I've left the state to go see a friend and things of that nature. But I'm on the road with Tiff. I talk to her when I'm there. I have the friend speak to her. You know, this is just who I am. Now, Tiff has not felt the need to do that, but I wouldn't have a problem if it was in response, because I know that's always the comeback is, well, what if Tiff wanted to travel? Okay. Travel. Do what you got to do. Just make sure you bring your butt home. And if you're not going to come home, tell me ahead of time so I can sell your stuff so I can make some money.
You are a mess. Anyway, you know what I was thinking? Because we've had this subject also as far as female friends who previously were not just friends. And I remember KL and I were on a panel, and this was a discussion of having friends of the opposite sex. And I said to the audience that most of KL's friends were former female friends that were not friends. They were friends with benefits. And if I said to him, you can't be friends with none of those people, KL wouldn't have any female friends. I mean, that's just the truth to the matter. Because any female that KL came in contact with in the past was someone that was prospectively a victim, unfortunately. But when I think about it now, and I am friends now with some of KL's friends, female friends. Former conquest, but there is only one that under no circumstances can KL be friends with, and only because wanting to apologize and apologizing is two different things. All I'm saying is the door was always open for her to apologize. All I'm saying is the amount of disrespect unjustly that came from her to me was unreal. And I ignored it. And it finally said, you know what, I can't take any more, and I responded. And it wasn't just the direct disrespect, but then it was the indirect disrespect, because not only was she someone that nearly caused the breakup of our relationship, but she insisted on being on the outside, on the back burner, as people like to say, and insisted on maintaining a friendship, and I'm making bunny quotes in the air, a friendship with KL, although there was very, very bad blood. There's no way in the world, and she, I don't understand why women don't understand this, but there's no way you can be friends, and I'm making bunny quotes again, with someone's partner when you have totally disrespected them in so many different ways. The door is not even open. That's not even open for discussion.
That was
my fault. Yeah, it was KL's fault as well, and I checked him on that. It got checked. It checked. I didn't speak on your phone.
Yes.
You want to tell the story how it really was? Oh, okay. So I'm not going to blow you up because you don't remember. Of course you remember. See? But the thing is, no, they can't be friends. And that's only one out of, I don't know how many friends that friendship can't happen. Because the disrespect that took place and the idea that not only were you disrespectful, but then you tried to maintain a relationship behind the scenes, a friendship behind the scenes, without even first acknowledging that you disrespected me. So, the other friends, we have a good relationship. I have a young lady that I talk to all the time when Kale talks to her. Actually, two. I'm not going to say names. We're not going to, you know what? Stop it. But we talk all the time. They say, hi, Tiff, how you doing? We have a friend that comes to New York to see us. She actually was here. I'm not going to say any names. I'm not saying any names. Yeah, you do. And we have a good relationship. Am I friends with all KL's female friends? No. KL is not friends with all my male friends. But, you know what? That is a whole other topic. I don't even understand why you would shout that out. Well, you got Tourette's. But the idea is, I'm not hiding any friends from him. He knows who all my male friends are. And that's an important subject too, honey. Don't you think?
No. No, you don't need to know who all my friends are.
No, I don't
want
to know who all your friends are.
I'm not saying. No, actually, I do tell anyway, but no. What's important? Oh yeah, yeah. I'm actually not cool with some of them, but I'm friendly. So when she introduced me to some of her friends, I clown them when ain't nobody around. But you know, I'm polite and I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, hey, yeah, how you doing? And I try to keep it moving because you know, if you're friends with my wife, then I have to respect you, whether I'm really cool with you or not. I can't say there's too many friends I'm not cool with on her side. I think it's just more like, if that's your friend, all right, cool, I respect him, and I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't be rude, I won't be disrespectful. Because I think the thing that bothers me, when I see people and the significant other doesn't want to be there, and they're displaying it on their face, well, then at that point, why even go? Why even be around? Because you're clearly making a statement without saying something. So if you're not cool with your partner's friends, just don't show up. Because I used to do that years ago. I'd sit there with my ex-wife and we go places, and I'd sit there with a scowl on my face. Ugh. So I'm basically saying, I don't want to be here. And it would make her feel uncomfortable, it would make other people feel uncomfortable. And now in my wiser years, you know, if I'm not feeling you, you wouldn't know. We laugh, joke, whatever, and then I get in the car and go, if you ever invite me to this thing, or, you know, it's never. And it is what it is. Also with Tiff, I don't ask her to go anywhere that I think she might be uncomfortable. But with that being said, I don't exclude her from going anywhere. If she wants to go, cool. And most of the time I'll ask her, do you want to come? And it's whatever. And I think that's where the friendship thing has to be clear too, is that if there are disagreements, those should be done in private also. Should not be fodder for folks to sit around and be putting on shows for whatever reason. Things have to be kept private, because I believe that's part of the relationship too. That's just my thought there also.
You gotta get on the grind, man.
Get on my grind? You know I'm stuffed up and it's hard for me to breathe. But you know what I was thinking as far as the friendship thing? We have mutual friends. Then we have friends that are just my friends. You have friends that are just your friends. But I remember you telling me when with your ex had mentioned to you, because you're a friendly person. And Kale, he pretends to be antisocial, but you're not antisocial. He's very charismatic. He's very charismatic. And I always say he could command the audience in the bathroom stall. Wherever he goes, Kale has a good rapport with people. And I remember he said that his ex always, they're people, yes. His ex had a complaint because she wanted to have just her friends. And she said to him, can I just have my own friends? Why do you always have to be friends with my friends? And not that he was trying to be, but people gravitate to him. So I thought it was a really immature way to think of it, that if your friends gravitate to your partner, I think that's a good thing. I think that shows that you have a partner that's able to get along with people. But even though Kale pretends to be antisocial, he really is not. I haven't seen anyone that just did not want to be around him.
Did she do shit or something? Nah, she was just whack. That's really all it was. Because in her mind, she would say all the time, actually, she made the strong statement of, you know, if everyone just likes you, why can't it just be about me? And her issue was with her wanting to have things for her. And honestly, I'm not going to dumb down and be different, but I can honestly say there were times that her and I were together, and I can honestly say I did not feel friends that she was with. I was not digging places that she wanted to go, and I would just put my foot down. I'm not going. Go do whatever. And I can honestly say it wasn't, we didn't share the partnership. We did so many things separate because we saw things so differently. And the friendship part of our relationship died when we said I do. And I've said this for years, you can only do two things in a marriage. You can go closer together, you can go further apart. So we didn't have mutual friends. She had her friends, I had mine. And what's even crazier, the few folks that could be considered mutual friends, the minute that we separated, she demanded that they make a choice. You're either going to be his friend or you're going to be my friend. And one of our friends just decided to unfriend both of us because she didn't want to be in the middle of it. So she just was like, yo, I'm done. I don't want to be bothered. And when I ran into her years later, she explained that, you know, my ex was putting so much pressure on her that she felt uncomfortable. She said she did have to leave her little nugget before she cut the friendship off. She said, you know, you're applying all this pressure about make a choice. She said, I was friends with Keith before I was friends with you, and I met you through him. And she actually had forgotten. She had tried to morph the friendship into what she wanted. And I just think, you know, it goes back to one of the things that Tiff and I talk about in our seminar, Making Marriage Cool Again, our Making Marriage Cool Again seminar, is that communication has to flow like water. It can't be blocked up. And the reason why is when you try to block up water, it's like a dam. The water will start to build and start to build, and the pressure builds and the pressure builds until eventually the dam breaks. Now, dams are used to create energy because dams will siphon off that pressure, siphon off that energy, and use that in other sources. Well, people don't have that luxury unless they let that energy loose. So I say, why even block it up? Allow the communication to be freely, allow things to flow, and you can get away from some of these issues. My ex-wife and I, we really didn't communicate. We talked at each other. And I wrote a poem, and one of the lines in the poem was, I wasn't a man, I wasn't married, I was a man in a marriage. And I was. When you're in a marriage, it's different than being married. See, when you're married, you love, respect, and cherish your partner. When you're in a marriage, it's just a state of being. It's like I'm at work. I'm at the park. It's just where I am at that moment, and it doesn't really hold the same weight. And so every opportunity I had to get away from the marriage, I took it. Now, what does it have to do with friends? Well, when you choose friends who feed into that behavior, then you're choosing friends who are so distant of the relationship that they had no idea of anything that my ex-wife liked, anything about her other than what they got from me. So, of course, they tended to dislike her like I disliked her. And that's another reason why you can't have friends who are so far removed from your significant other, because it does create an opportunity for disaster. And given the wrong negativity, the wrong situations in the marriage, you could actually open up the door and go in that direction even though you weren't planning on it. So you have to be very, very careful. The time now is 9:20. See my wife flashing the time to me. What we're going to do at this moment, we're going to take a 2-song break because the DJ always does his thing in the background. We're going to take a 2-song break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation as well as start up a new one with the significant others and friends, because how do you deal with a significant other being friends with someone that they have been romantic with in the past, or does it not bother you at all because you believe it's over? So we're going to talk about that and how we deal with that when we come back. I am your host, KL Belvin. That is my lovely wife sitting across from me, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. This is Reality and Relationships, and we'll be back in 2 songs.
Where you at? Going over there, dude. See, I thought we was gonna try to work this out ourselves. I'm saying it's the problem. You always running over there to them. I mean, it should be between me and you. Look, I'm on my way home, so you need to get there. I'll see you in a minute.
Stop listening to your children. Stop shitting and talk about our relationship. Theirs ain't perfect. Stop listening to the chosen. All the time we've been our business. And theirs ain't perfect. And the chosen always got something to say about everybody. And if you keep on listening to them, you're gonna find yourself with the chosen. So it's 5:15 and I'm just getting off of work. Headed straight home. Headed to see my baby. Gotta find out what is going on. She called me on the phone. I heard in her voice, she said, something's on my mind. I bet it's killing this, telling all the lies. They're breaking up the bond, girl.
I'm listening to the children. I'm kidding, they talk about our relationship. Yeah, they ain't perfect. I'm listening to the children. All the time, they've been our business.
Everybody, and if you keep on listening to them, you're gonna find yourself.
back to Reality and Relationships. And first and foremost, let me apologize to all of the folks that called in and were on hold. We actually had some technical difficulties which did not allow us to get to the callers that were holding. So we want to send a heartfelt apology to all the folks that called in and we just rattled on as if you weren't important, because that is never the case, and we actually enjoy when folks call in. So if you're one of the individuals who called in and hung up because you got tired of waiting, feel free to call back in and we'll definitely have you get in the last half an hour. We can discuss tonight's topic. Okay, so let's go right to the phone calls. We're going to go to the mayor. Mayor, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's going on, Mr. B? How you feeling, man? What's going on, man?
I am.
How you doing, Miss B? Shout out to Miss B. Mrs.
B. I feel like I'm back to work, man. KL is good. Don't say Mr. B, because then I feel like I'm back to work. I'm trying to milk this summer out.
Oh, okay, okay. No doubt. No doubt. That's what it is. I just had to touch base, man, because, you know, I've been, you know, I did the show Monday, did my show Tuesday, touched base with the Divas yesterday, so I had to call in to you and Mrs. Belvin and all that, man, just to say what up, man. You know, it's my birthday week and all that. Now I just wanted to, you know, celebrate and touch to say what up to y'all. That's all.
Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, my dude. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So what's your thoughts on tonight's subject, if you had a chance to listen to what we were talking about?
I just got on, like, in the last couple of minutes, so the music was
all
playing,
right,
but
so
I got...
I'll bring up this.
Yes, sir.
Here's the question,
yes,
for tonight. The question is, how do you feel about your significant other having friends of the opposite sex, and should they be friends with you, or is it not an issue for you?
It's not really an issue for me. You know why? Because I live by the creed, everything ain't for everybody. And I feel like, you know, she had a life before she met me, and if she felt like I have to be in a buffer zone with that particular situation right there, it'll come to pass. Whatever's gonna come to pass. That's all. I can't sweat that.
I got
what,
you.
What
I
don't
you.
Know is
so
not gonna hurt me.
Trust me.
Yeah.
How about if it was someone that she had a previous relationship?
Well, then that's a problem, because I should have been at least informed that it was a prior dealing that y'all had. I should have been at least
let's put it like this. I want to make it clear for folks listening. Let's say she did tell you that, you know, before you, they were intimate, and now they're cool. Is that cool with you? Because I know that's one of the things that people kind of bug out.
I got no problem with that. I got no problem with it, because if, you know, if I have to respect that situation, of course she would have to respect my situation.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
That's very true, very honest. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very honest, because I think what happens is, like, one of the things that Tiff and I are discussing is pretty much we're cool with everything. She did give me the one person who I can't be cool with, and that's simply because that one person has not come to the forefront and actually offered an apology for their behavior before, even though they would still like to be cool with me.
Right.
They can't be cool with me because they're not cool with the wife. And that's one of the things that I explained to her. I said, no matter how much you'd like to call on me if you have problems, stuff like that, and I'm here to help anyone who reaches out to help me, I explained to her that can't rock that way, because I'm not going to upset my home to try to help you if you're not willing to take that step up to at least apologize to the wife for behaviors that you had years ago.
Right.
I'm not asking for an apology. I just want to make that clear. I'm not asking for an apology, but I don't see how you can be so disrespectful and then think that you can assume what they don't do to maintain a relationship with my husband being so disrespectful to me. That's
right. I mean, that
is the case. So I explained it to her, and she understood, and she said, you know, I have to gear myself up, because when there's so much history, actually, this is one of those points where you got to read my book From Gigolo to Jesus to understand that some of the relationships I had in the past were really not ones of any positivity. And so those past situations, so you put the rest completely. We've owned up to ours on this side. I need those folks to do the same if they actually want to have any type of friendship. And so it's really just that one person. Everybody else is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But so what about your friends, brother? Is any of your friends in situations where they might lean on the opposite sex a little bit more than they should with home, and you have to maybe straighten them out, or maybe just say that's not where your head is at? Because I know I go through that with some of my boys.
Not presently, but, you know, maybe in the prior situation, you know, I just had to let them know, like, I'm here too. You know what I mean? 'Cause I'm a dude that I'm a quiet dude. I like to, you know, I like to observe first and see what your, you know, see what your motive is. I'm very perceptive. Mm-hmm. I'm a Leo. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna speak my mind when it's time to speak my mind. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna let it, you know, let it see what it is. You know what I'm saying? But then when it's, you know, if I don't get acknowledged, or if he doesn't acknowledge me as being in the position that I'm in right now, that I'm with her, and you gotta respect me as such, then, you know, the lines get a little blurry. Then we got to figure it out.
Gotcha. I got you. And I can definitely respect that. So that's definitely on point right there. Well, brother, I know normally we allow Castle Rock a lot longer, but
no,
it's
just so good. I just
want
to touch base and shout out. Yes, sir.
But
I just wanted to participate. Yes, sir.
But before you go, tell them where they can find you. Tell them about your show. Tell them who you are, because, you know, we always allow cats to get their plugs in. So go ahead and do your thing.
Appreciate you, man. Yo, it is what it is. It's the mayor in the building, man. Tuesday nights, 8 to 10. You know what I mean? Right here, same math with the bell, 646-200-3838. Jump in, get on. We talk sports like we talk sports. You know what I mean? So it's a respectable situation. It goes down. Shout out to everybody who called in. Shout out to everybody who checks me out and after further review every day. And it's the mayor, man. And shout out to the Belvis, man. Y'all do your thing. I just wanted to come through, man. My birthday week and flow through GQ Palace Radio like that. That's all.
Definitely. And you know what? I got to make a note because you and the Divas, y'all have definitely supported us. I got to come through. So next week, definitely, I got to make a note to come through. And I think I have an interview I got to do next Tuesday. So anything, I might come in the following. But I definitely want to come on because I'm a sports junkie. So I can definitely
There's whatever team you rock with, because, you know, we go hard body karate in there. So whatever team you rock with.
It's football season too,
my G. So, you know, just come through.
You ain't said nothing, bro.
Now your shoulder pad on and all that. Let's get it popping.
I'm a walking encyclopedia, so they got to come.
Oh, I love it. That's what I like right there. I like that right there. We're going to definitely build. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you, man. Shout out to everybody that's out there listening, man. Love and relationships. Thursday night, it goes down. It's the mayor, yo. Appreciate you. Thank you for giving me like 6 minutes to rock, man. That's it. That's all I need.
So all right, brother.
Peace.
We'll talk to you too. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Mayor, yo. Tuesday night, man. I'm definitely going to come through. I'm a sports nut, man. I got to come through and put them to the test, see what they working with over there. He said he hard body. I'm going to check because I'm a sports nut. But we're not going to get off the subject tonight. Sha Love is on the line, and I know Sha wanted to say something. I saw her posting earlier, so she got something to say about it. Sha Love, you there, darling?
Hi, you guys. Yes, I'm here. How are you?
You sound like a rainy night, man. What's up?
Oh, no, I'm just chilling. Sorry, I'm on chill mode today.
I'm good.
There was so much that you said now. I was just trying to touch on the subject. Oh no. Well, basically, in all realms of it, when you said about the friends, it's so funny. Every time, I'm not even joking. Every week that I have listened to the show, I promise you that same week, 3 days or a day or so prior, I have the exact conversation with whatever. Or that subject came up, and I'm not kidding. I was in court yesterday with my ex-husband, and he asked me, why do you think I can't be friends with you right now? Why are you always so cool with all your ex-boyfriends and all of that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, my answer was because a lot of my ex-boyfriends have done me wrong, and they feel so bad for doing it, and they know I'm a cool person, that they just still want to keep in contact with me after. Whereas my soon-to-be ex-husband is just not feeling that right now. He's like, I cannot be friends with you right now. It's just impossible. But I'm like, okay, like, you know, hopefully when you come around and you feel like you are right. But
man, that's a weak excuse, man. He should get kicked in his behind for that. That's weak. He kept the boot to the behind of the week.
He cannot be friends with me. And the thing is, I'm the one who, you know, I got done dirty. So it's like, how could you? I'm actually being cool with you, trying to be. And then to touch on just real quick, you said something about how somebody took your friends away. It's hilarious because I'm over here laughing because that's what he did. They were really his friends, but for the past 6 years, they were like my family because they took me in, I took them in. And as soon as this all went down, he took them with him. Like, he had to have his entourage with him, except for three people that actually understood his mess, and was like, nah, we're not going to rock with that. And we like you, Shawan, you're awesome. So we're going to still talk to you. So only three people. I'm lying. I'm sorry.
No, keep it going because, you know, the fact that Chip and I have intimate knowledge of things that folks may not realize that we do. So my thing is, I can be as real as I want. My thing is, how do you deal with that situation when the line is drawn in the sand and you actually see people who was cool with you now starting to drift, making that choice as if you were the person that put that into the water? Like, I had a problem when people just stopped kicking it with me or talking to me because they just wanted to remain cool with the ex, when I'm like, well, wait a minute, I didn't do anything, and I left because I was trying to keep my sanity. You don't even know what the situation is, and you draw inside and just stop. How do you just stop talking to somebody because someone else says don't be cool with them, or however it's said? I don't know.
Yeah,
how did you deal with that?
Honestly, I was devastated beyond that. That was one of the things that hurt me so bad, that one of the people that I, like, one of the couples that I was hanging with like that, I did more for them. Actually, I got a goddaughter out of it. When I met them before they had a problem having a child. I went to with her with her appointments to even have this child, and she became my goddaughter, and now she's five. And literally, I was devastated because she graduated actually 2 weeks ago. I couldn't go to the graduation. Like, it was very hard to know that I've been there for y'all more than the husband actually been there. It's like when things would come up, I'm the one who says, oh, let's go give them a birthday gift, or let's go do this, let's go do that. So it's like, why would you just now disappear when you guys seen us fight? You guys know that I've been hurting. But yet, the excuse is, there's two excuses I found out, actually. One excuse was, you know, well, we want to keep our loyalty to him. So, you know, we feel like the lesser of the two evils, the problem would be for them to still be around him, I guess. And plus, he, like, played the victim, so that didn't help either. But so that was one. And I heard a new excuse this week because someone else just cut me off this week. The new excuse was, she's now writing happy stuff on her Facebook. I just found this out yesterday. I'm not kidding. She's writing happy things on her Facebook, and it's not about you, and it's not with you. So, therefore, I have loyalty to you because I met you first. I cut her off of Facebook because I don't like the fact that I see her happy, and it's not with you.
So you got reporters.
Can you believe that?
Basically reporting back to where you are. So they're not even attempting to let you guys heal, because they're basically throwing salt in wounds or ripping the scabs off the wounds that are there. So that's, wow. That's,
yeah,
not even
that,
cool.
Well, that was
on
only
many levels.
That Facebook thing was only two people. But the other thing prior to that was about 4 months ago. That's when all the other friends and the nephew and all that I was super tight with. I was in shock and disbelief that I could rock with somebody for 6 years, ride or die, and they could literally just, whatever he said, his version of the story, they could literally not one person called me to see how I was doing, not one person called me to see if I was okay, not one person called me to see my side of the story, anything. And that,
well
except for the
people they're not going to do that. And actually, my ex, that was one of her biggest complaints, was that when we got separated, it was that, you know, the whole family, everybody cut me off. And I said, I'm going to keep it very real with you, is that in a separation, you know, my friends and family separate with you too, because they're not going to cross me to be cool with you. They're not going to. Now, the one thing I would not allow is I would not allow them to be disrespectful to my ex. But no, that's going to happen. And just like with her, I think the problem I had was that folks wouldn't even just say, I'm leaving alone. Like, I respected the folks that, yeah, okay, I'm staying out of it, man. You know, I'm cool with both of y'all.
Exactly.
So I'm going to leave it alone.
Just
okay, cool.
That I could get with.
But it was just the fact that, you know, she took it as such an offense that she turned that negative energy into, well, I'm going to try to get back. Oh, hold on, the person that had to deal with it.
I have something to say. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to knock your cup over. But I just have something to say. KL's family didn't like his ex before they got divorced. So it was
wasn't a matter of they decided to separate ties because it was, you know, they wanted to take Keith's side, or it wasn't that. They made it very clear they didn't like her from the beginning. So to me, I think it's different because if Kale and I broke up today, we have mutual friends that I can't even see. And maybe I'm being naive, but I can't see this thing. Well, I'm not going to speak to Tiff because I'm friends with Big Dog.
I didn't either. I didn't either.
First of all, Tiff is naive. Tiff is naive. And I'm going to tell you right now, both of y'all need to understand this. People are going to do that just because people perceive drama even though there is none. And so because they perceive it, one of the first things they do is they'll lean towards the person who they believe is going to create the less drama for them. So if they're cool with me, they're going to remain cool with me and maybe not mess with Tiff as much and vice versa. And it's just something that you have to deal with. The thing is, the going back and forth. Don't come and tell me the back and forth is the biggest problem.
Why they going back and forth? That is childish in itself.
Yeah. And,
it really
but
is.
Then also what my ex does is she uses my children. And it backfired because after 13 years now, she caused my son to hate her, one of them to hate her, and the other one kind of just tolerates her, but he loves his mom. But now there's a civil war going on between the two of them because of her treatment towards me. Shaw, we're going to continue this conversation, but we got to move on. We got one more caller because we had some difficulties, so we didn't get all y'all on earlier. So, as always, darling, thank you so much. And you know what?
Yes.
You do what you got to do. If you happy right now, you know what? I'm just going to say this because I'm cool with both y'all. You know, my man cut me off too. Ain't heard from him, whatever. He cut us off.
Yeah, that's
just
how he is. That's how he is.
Yeah, we didn't even know there was a problem. We was trying to do business and got cut off. All I can say is keep doing you. Your future is bright, maybe even brighter now that he's out of the picture. And my door is always open to him if he wants to talk, but unfortunately he made his move. So whenever he wants to, he can come and speak to us. He hasn't, and we haven't done any business for whatever reason. That, again, that's on him. I keep it moving. It is what it is. So
behind
we're going
to
move forward.
I'll tell you that story later.
That's actually a great topic for another day. You have to come on. We have to talk about that. But
right.
As always, okay. Thank you, love, for the support.
Of course.
All right, moving
course.
On before we close out. That was Shaw Love, a regular. So you know we have another regular on the line. That is T is on the line. What's up, T? And T
hey,
rock with whatever
my lovely
Tiff
couple.
Say. No matter what Tiff say, T rock with Tiff no matter what. T is a Tiff sympathist. Tiff can say that my head is just, Tiff can say whatever, and T would be like, go, Tiff.
You're right. That's my girl. Tiff is my girl. And us divas will always stick together, KL. So don't even act like you don't even know that.
That's right.
Don't make me come to New York and have to take you down now.
Yo, listen.
Why you get quiet, KL?
All you divas say the same thing till y'all get with a good man. I ain't trying to hear all that foolishness.
It don't matter. We will take you out.
It do matter.
We will take you down. We ain't gonna take you out. We're gonna take you down.
Good man show up and be like, girl, I was cool with y'all, but I gotta get with my man right now. I'm sorry. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Even to the end, it's a good man show up. Girl, I can't. I ain't losing that man. Y'all go ahead.
No, you know what? I'm gonna still have my our besties, and that's even men and women and men. You know, actually.
Okay. Ask your question. So, to the topic of tonight, do you have any problem with your significant other having female friends and vice versa? How has your significant other felt about you having male friends? That's one. And then second, if it is friends of the opposite sex who you have had previous relationships with, does that change it?
You know what, KL, honestly, I mean, and I'm being truthful, how can I stop him from having female friends? You know, I may not like it, but does it mean that he's not going to have them?
Well, honestly, let me answer that question. When Tip told me I could be cool with anybody except for that young lady because of her feelings about her and the fact that she felt that being friends to me without having apologized for her actions towards her was disrespectful to her, well, then I made the choice that if my wife says she has difficulties with something that I'm doing, then that's it. And I did end the friendship. And I said, no, sweetheart, we can't be friends. If you're not ready to tell my wife, you know, that y'all ready to just bury the hatchet and move on. I said, my wife is not asking for much. She's saying, you know, apologize for the things that you did. And she's willing to apologize for anything that she did and let it
right.
go. If you're not ready to go there, but you still find it easy to talk to me, we can't rock. And I let it go. So, yes, you can.
Well,
if he cares about you, you can dictate
those
terms.
In a situation like that, that's being disrespectful to Tiff, you know, because she's not respecting Tiff or her wishes at all. But my thing is, you know, just like they were saying in the forum, as long as you respect me and I respect his friends, I don't see anything wrong with it. But when it crosses that line, it's a problem. You know, and I was listening to you guys saying earlier about going out venting to your friends and things like that. Right now, and I think I've said this before, I have a couple that I went to when I was going through some things. You know, some people just want to hear drama. Some people are there to actually help you, but some people are
yep.
there just to hear what you're saying to hurt you in a long run and throw it back at you. But I have
yeah,
a couple
well, some people
right
drama
now.
Junkies.
I was going through something, you know, they never, ever, even when I called and told them what was going on, they never said, you know, I wanted to tell you, you need to leave him alone anyway. They was like, we were waiting for you to make that decision. What are you going to do?
I got you. I got
yeah,
you.
And
I gotta...
love them so much for that. And it even brought me closer to them because I was like, wow. You know,
I got
you.
And shout out to Lavina
some
for saying if they're ratchet, she can't deal with it. Shout out to Lavina for saying if they're ratchet, she can't deal with it. Ratchet friends get no play. Any
that's
ratchet
true.
Dudes out there,
that's
go.
True. You know,
if
so
you ratchet,
my thing
go.
Is, when they came at me like that, and they told me regardless, I wouldn't care if you go back to him or whatever, I still love you. But you know what you went through. So why even put yourself in that predicament? And to this day, we're still close. We're thicker than thieves. And I love them for that because they never, ever judged me, even after I told them the situation of the cheating and all of that. You know, I sort of slipped
yeah.
back into that situation, but I'm out of it now. But they never, ever turned their backs on me. You know, so my thing is, sometimes you need that opposite sex to even just communicate with. Not that, you know, you're there trying to get up with them or sleep with them or anything like that, because I'm not going to go out like that, number one. You know, because I got too much respect for T. But sometimes it happens. You know, but you
got
to be that stronger and bigger person to say, hey, you know what? I don't care what you are looking for. I'm not into that. You know,
oh,
and the
no
first
doubt.
Time you
no
disrespect
doubt.
Me as being their friend, I got to go.
Well, and that actually says a lot because I think having, like I happen to be my friend across the river, across the way in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be her best male friend, and she calls on me when she needs advice from a male. And the cool thing is that her and Tiff are cool. And, yeah, we had connections in the past, but now we have things in order and the priorities are straight. And I
right.
can be that for her simply because everything is aligned. And she supports everything that goes on with Tiff and I, supports what we do. So there's nothing to be hidden. And she leans on me often for things to help her out with her relationships because she knows of what my past was. And we're able to talk about that, joke about it. And there's nothing there. And I think folks have to learn that once things are put into a particular situation, then we can do things the right way. T, listen, you know, I would normally let you rock out, but I'm going to squeeze in Lavina for the last
no
couple
problem,
minutes because I'm trying to get all you guys. But before you
just
go,
know that I
tell
love
them,
you guys.
Tell them about
and,
your show.
Oh, Wednesday from 7 to 9, every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I love fantasy with the Diva Squad. We always have good, great topics, great music. Make sure that you tune in. We are there every Wednesday, 646-200-3838.
Gotcha, gotcha. Thank you so much. Sorry to rush you off because
okay.
You know, we normally let you rock. T is one of our favorites, and she will always get love of the show. Actually, you know,
I'll be here next
to come
week.
Come on a Wednesday night.
I'll be here
but
next
I'm a,
week.
I'm going to stop by. I definitely have to stop by. I told the mayor I'm going to make sure I stop by everybody's show and
okay.
Show some love. I came by before. Y'all guys do a great job. So I'm definitely going to come by. Thank you so much, T.
All right. We love you guys.
Thank you. We love you too, darling.
All right.
All right. We're not playing games, man. We're getting it in this half an hour. Next up is Lavina. And Lavina was saying if they ratchet, she was saying in the group if they ratchet, she ain't dealing with it. Lavina, how you doing, love?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Please explain what you've been typing behind the scenes when it comes to friends with the significant other. Now, let me just paint a picture here. Lavina and her significant other, if she chooses to let y'all know who, that's on her. But they meet tons of people. So I know
right.
This topic cuts close to home. So I'm going to let you rock
oh,
out.
Yes.
Go ahead, Don.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. My handsome husband, Rich Money, of course, the CEO and host of GQ Palace. We
shout
run across this a lot, you know, a lot. And I had to, because originally, I'm going to be honest, originally I was the person that was like in, you know, another relationship where we dealt with a lot of women.
Uh-huh.
I was an Eastern Star. He was a Mason. And it was mm-hmm. a lot of women all the time. And they were ratchet. You know, I love my Eastern Stars, but a lot of them were ratchet. And they didn't respect the fact that, you know, you're seeing someone that is a Mason, okay? Now, I ran across all these women and all these women smiling your face, but meanwhile, they're sending the nasty text messages behind your back to your man, okay?
Yep.
So
yep.
That was my relationship before I met Rich. And once I met Rich, I'm like, oh, God, all these women again, you know, what are we getting into here?
Mm-hmm.
But I sat him down and I explained to him, you know, like, this is what, you know, I ran across. I don't have a problem with the female friends and stuff like that as long as they stay, you know, respectful. They have to respect the fact that you have someone. And if you're happy with me, then therefore I know that you'll respect me, you know, 100%. So we run across these women and, you know, Rich will tell everyone, well, you know, in Lavina's mind, everybody wants me. That's what he says. But my thing, he does. And I'm not going to say everybody wants him. I'm going to say that when you're in the spotlight a lot, you know, when people look at you automatically, they want to look and see, depending on the woman, you know, the women, they want to see, okay, is he faithful? They want to test that faithful, you know. They want to see how loyal he is
yep.
to me. You know, because he always brings me out. I'm always with him. You know, they want to see. They want to see if they could, you know, talk to him and stuff. And I tell them, listen, I'm not worried about it. I'm comfortable. I know where we are. You know, I know what our goal is. So with all of this being said, we go out one night, right? And this ratchet,
mm-hmm.
this ratchet girl, oh, my gosh, she was so ratchet. Now, she was cute, but she was ratchet, okay? She was ratchet. And, you know, he must have known her, of course. And she's staring at us. Instead of her coming over to us saying pretty much, you know, hey, how you doing, Rich Money, you know, she didn't. She just kept looking. I'm like, Rich, who is this girl staring at us? Like, we in a club. The club is packed. It's two floors to this club. And this one lady is everywhere that we are, okay? Everywhere. We walk through the crowd, she's right there. We walk back through the crowd, she's right there. No matter where we are. So she finally says to him, you don't remember who I am? And I'm looking like, oh, boy, here we go. Do I got to take my earrings off and lose my religion real fast? You know what? Okay. I'm like, okay, this is a nightmare. Because, you know, we had, you know, been together for a little while, and I had told him what I had went through before. So he was like, no, I don't remember who you are. Now, mind you, I'm looking at Rich, okay? I'm saying to myself, he remembers who she is. He's just playing it off, okay? So what ends up happening is this lady, she just, like, kept staring at us after he said, you know, with a straight face, I don't know who you are. You know, no, I don't remember you. So automatically, I'm playing in my mind all the Facebook friends we have, you know, all the people that's in the forum. I'm like, oh, my God, who is this lady? You know, I'm like, all right, is this somebody that, you know, he was with before? And what ended up happening is she hadn't seen him in a very long time. So when she seen him, I guess she was surprised to see that we're walking through the club holding hands. He's in front, I'm behind him. So she was curious to see exactly who he was. But my thing is, I can respect the fact that you haven't seen him, but my thing is, why are you staring at me the whole night? Like, why are you making it seem like it's something more to it than it is? Come over, say hello, introduce yourself, you know. So now it seems like whenever we go out, Rich always introduces me. This is my wife, Lavina. This is my fiance, Lavina. You know, so I told him, you know, I'm your fiance at this point, but I'm your wife. I earned those stripes already, you know. So even though we don't have the papers, I earned those stripes already. I'm your wife, you know. It'll happen soon enough. So now he introduces me to everybody, and it's different for me because I'm from Long Island. He's from the Bronx. So me being a little old, you know, island girl coming into the Bronx, the city life, you know, it's completely different. And I don't know anybody. So my guards are always up. And we see the half-naked women. I mean, you'll see them, like, prancing around us, just to prance right in front of them, you know. And I said, okay, I'm like, all right, this is Ratchet 1 over here. This is Ratchet 2 over here. Y'all see me standing here. My clothes are on. I'm not half naked with you, so that should let you know something, you know. So I say all this to say, as long as the person is respectful and they can stay in their lane as a friend, I'm fine with it.
That's why I wanted you to come on and say that, because that is actually one of the definitive things with Tiff and I, and Tiff more so than me, because Tiff knows if somebody steps out of that lane, I will quickly check somebody and be like, but I'll do it in a joking way. Tiff wants to turn into...
Tiff wants to turn back into
the chick from Howard Houses. And I got to be like, yo, chill. No. And the same thing with family and other folks. Tiff ready to thump because she's tired of people thinking that she this prissy. And I'm like, chill, you ain't got to beat everybody up. We got the pardon, we free. Tiff ready to go. I'm tired of people thinking I'm a punk. I'm like, anybody think you a punk? Who she talking to? I'm like, relax yourself. But what's crazy is I'll tell Tiff, don't say something. And Tiff will not say it to the person, but get on Facebook and make, like, the ratchet, subliminal message that I know is going to create a problem. And then walk up in the spot like she didn't type nothing. Like, yo, you come over here and say something, then it's on. So I'm like, but you know they're going to say something. So I'm asking you to comment on one, but I deal with it right then and there. I don't play the back and forth. I may say, excuse me, fam, is there a reason, you know, what's this? And actually, we've had that, not so much with friends, but when we first started dating, because I'm so much older than her, folks figured she couldn't be with the older dude, so I must be the uncle, the cousin, maybe even her dad. And I had a dude from way in the back just smiling and waving and winking and everything, and I'm looking, and I'm like, so dude don't see me sitting here at the table with my lady, but he's steady grinning, and he's trying to get it in from deep. So I waved at him. Come on, bro. Come down here. And he looked, and he pointed like me. I said, yeah, come on. So he started grinning. He came. I said, yo, take a seat, man. He took a seat. I said, this is Tiff. What's your name? He's like, Steve. I said, Steve, this is Tiff. Tiff, this is Steve. He was like, hey, how you doing, sweetheart? What's good? Da-da-da-da. He said, so who's that? She's like, my husband. He was like, your husband? I said, listen, bro, if you're going to cut a man's throat, don't cut it from deep. Come right up next to him and get right up under the chin. Yeah, I'm her husband. He was like, he almost passed out. But my thing is, yes, I'm going to play with you, because if you're going to sit there and try to be disrespectful, now show me that you're willing to be disrespectful right here in front of my face. That's what I thought. You're excused. Now go. Because exactly. The idea is that as long as you play your lane, I know she's attractive. And one of the first things that Tiff taught me, well, tried to teach me, when we first started dating, she said, look, if you're the jealous type, this ain't going to work because I get a lot of attention from men. I need to tell you that right now. Well, what she didn't know is I said to her, well, I hear that, but I need to tell you, I get a lot of attention from women. So you need to understand that you have to deal with this.
KL is talking, but the first time we actually went out to the club together, and it was for my birthday. It was for my birthday. If you could have saw the look on KL's face with all the men that wanted to dance with me, he was frowning, and he was trying to be nice, but you could tell that he was not happy about it.
All right. This has been a wonderful show. All right, yes. I had to learn to get over myself. And so from there, we've been great ever since. But we did go a little over 10. So listen, guys, we're going to do this the right way. Honey, do you have any final thoughts for anybody dealing with friendships with the opposite sex other than what we've heard tonight? Or just do you want to co-sign, again, anything that you heard tonight?
I'm going to co-sign what Lavina said. If you get ratchet, I'm going to take my earrings off.
How did I know she was going to go there? And you know what? I guess I'm going to have to jump on the bandwagon, too. I'm going to co-sign with Lavina also, and I'm going to say this. It really is about playing your lane in a relationship, because if my significant other is respectful and I am respectful, then there is no place for you to become or get disrespectful. And I think anybody listening, I want to say this to them also, is that it is a matter of trust with your significant other first. No matter who they attempt to be friends with, no matter who wants to come into you guys' lives, it cannot happen until one of you allow it to happen, which means if your significant other did not set the parameters, then it is their fault, not the person who came up. Now, if your significant other has set the parameters and that person is being disrespectful, then it might be earrings time, or it might be grease time, or it might be time to say, bro, can I see you outside? Because then it is that level of disrespect that Lavina and Tiff are talking about. So it really is about playing your lane, but it's also about trust. And we hear about it, but this is actually what it looks like. Folks will say trust in relationships all the time, but the trust means that I am comfortable enough for you to go out and be who you are and not worry about the relationship. If you're not there yet, you might not need to be in a relationship. This has been another Thursday night. This has been Reality in Relationships. We love the grown folks' conversations that we have. Please tell a friend. The archives will be up on the GQ Palace website, on Blog Talk Radio, GQ Palace Radio, if you go and check it out, on our Making Marriage Cool Again page on Facebook, as well as on both of our Facebook pages, Arthur K.L. Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin. If you miss it, please tell a friend, because we would love for you to come back and listen to the shows. You can listen to them as many times as you want. Please share them with your friends. And if you have any questions or anything that you need from us, feel free to reach out. Honey, anything else you want to say to close out?
Good night and God bless.
Good night.
Than the flow. Every day I'm looking for a faith. It's like a dream to me, and I gotta make it real. Gotta let them know just how I feel. Now there she goes again, driving by. I hit my horn, she throws her beams on high. I put my joint in gear, and I try to give chase. She disappears again without a